Dr. Vajrayana and friends. Well, I must say, first of all, that I am very glad, very pleased to be here. Thank you. To be here addressing you this afternoon. And I'm very pleased to be speaking once again after an interval of many years under the auspices of the Maha Bodhi Society. And I'm glad also to be speaking on the subject of great Buddhists of the 20th century. As Dr. Vajrayana has already intimated, my contact with the Maha Bodhi Society goes back quite a long way. It goes back not only into the 60s, not only into the 50s, it goes right the way back into the 40s. It goes back, that is to say, into the days which I spent, the months and years, even decades, which I spent in India. And during that period, which was obviously a very important and impressionable period of my whole life, I was in regular friendly contact with most of the bhikkhus who were working for or were connected with the Maha Bodhi Society. Some of them were stationed in Calcutta, some in Saranath, one or two in Delhi, Lucknow, Madras. I think I was in fairly regular contact, sometimes very regular contact, with practically all of them. And of course, as Dr. Vajrayana also mentioned, for 12 years I edited the Maha Bodhi Journal. Only quite recently, in connection with some memoirs I'm currently writing, I was looking through some back volumes, some bound volumes of the Maha Bodhi Journal, and I calculated that several thousand articles must have passed through my hands in those days. And I recollect that I was what is sometimes called a ferocious editor. I must admit that sometimes I blue penciled about two thirds of an article. If anyone was to do that to an article of my own, I would protest vigorously. But in those days, while I was young then, I did it with the utmost confidence. And of course, in the course of my days in India and my contact with the Maha Bodhi Society, some of the society's workers, some of the society's bhikkhus, became very good friends of mine. But unfortunately, all those whom I knew then, all those who were friends of mine in those far-off days, are now passed on into some other reincarnation. And there's only one Maha Bodhi Society bhikkhu at present with whom I'm in personal contact, and that is Dr. Vajrayana. He's the sole survivor, as it were. And yes, as he intimated, I've known him for nearly 30 years, which is quite a big slice of anybody's life. And of course, I got to know him not in India, as I did the other bhikkhus of the society, but here in England. As he has already mentioned, he was present at the very first ordinations into the Western Buddhist Order, one Sunday morning, I think it was, 7th of April, 1968, here in London itself. And it's this same Dr. Vajrayana who has invited me to speak here today. And it's he who has chosen the subject. The subject of great Buddhists of the 20th century. Now, I don't know what led him to choose this subject. He didn't reveal that to me. He didn't give me any indication of his thinking. But I must admit that the subject is probably not one that I would have chosen myself. After all, it's a really vast subject. Great Buddhists of the 20th century. Yeah? But Dr. Vajrayana, being a friend of mine, I agreed to speak on it. And I thought, in any case, well, why not sometimes speak on a subject which is not of one's own choosing? Perhaps it will stretch one a little bit beyond one's customary boundaries, not to say limitations. So yes, I agreed to speak on this subject of great Buddhists of the 20th century. So as my custom is, after accepting the invitation to speak on this subject, I started thinking. I usually keep the subject of a lecture or a talk at the back of my mind, and I sort of advert to it at odd moments. Sometimes when I wake up in the night, or sometimes while I'm having my daily walk. But I start thinking about it. And not long after I'd started thinking about this particular subject of great Buddhists of the 20th century, I realized that I had a problem. And the problem was that once I started thinking about it, there were so many great Buddhists of the 20th century. Initially, I hadn't realized this. Originally, I'd assumed that there were just a few, just a handful. But the more I thought about it, and the more names I recollected, the more it seemed that there were dozens upon dozens of great Buddhists of the 20th century. And of course, I couldn't possibly speak on all of them. In order to speak on all of them, I'd have to have a whole series of Saturday afternoon lectures. And I've just got one Saturday afternoon, just got an hour and a half or so. So obviously, I would have to select. But that raises a further problem. How is one to select? On what basis is one to select? What would be the principle of selection? So that was the problem. So in the end, I decided to base my selection on two principles. First of all, an elimination. I decided not to speak on any great Buddhists who were still alive. That let me off several hooks. After all, even a great Buddhist might change their religion. And then they'd no longer be great Buddhists because they were no longer Buddhists. And where would that leave me? And of course they might commit other mistakes. Sophocles said, "Call no man happy until he is dead." And similarly, one might say, "Call no man a great Buddhist until he is dead." That's the safer way. So that safer way I decided to take, and not to speak about any great Buddhist, who was still alive. And then secondly, my second principle of selection, I decided to speak on great Buddhists with whom I had had some kind, at least, of personal contact. So in this way, with the help of these two principles of selection, I was able to cut down my list of great Buddhists of the 20th century to a quite manageable figure. But then a further question arises, which is, how does one define a great Buddhist? What is it that makes a great Buddhist? For the matter of that, how does one define a great man? Well, I'm going to leave the latter question aside. Let's concentrate on what it is that makes, what it is that constitutes a great Buddhist.